Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, the Big Boss, and I'm here with my man, the Professor. What's up, man?
What's going on, boss? What's happening?
Nothing much, man. Just coming off a good weekend, especially for my birds. So I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that makes one of us.
Well, you know, we'll see where it goes. I mean, I probably won't be watching because I have like a very superstitious way of just like, I know that every time I watch, the Eagles lose. So Super Bowl is going to be awkward for me.
Yeah, you're watching by yourself because nobody's going to want to invite you over.
Yeah, man. But let's go ahead and get right in it. I got a couple of items that we can go through today in the movie news world, TV news, and get a little gaming in today, man. So kind of excited about expanding a little bit, and we got a fun little fan cast for you guys today. So just stick around, and we'll give you the scoop. So let's dive right in.
Let's do it.
All right. First up, we got the weekend box office. Coming out number one, Jumanji, yet again, for its fifth week, coming out at number one, rounding out with 20 mil over the weekend.
I keep saying I'm going to go see this, and I haven't done it yet, but it really turns out to be a powerhouse. I mean, look, there really hasn't been a whole lot that's come out since it came out to go against it, but
yeah,
it's been holding pretty steady, and people are saying it's a good movie, so I might have to check it out at some point if I can.
Yeah, man, same here. I was supposed to check it out last weekend, but, you know, time got away from me, so I didn't get to check it out. But hopefully I'll get to see it before it leaves theaters. But, yeah, that's what all I've been hearing is that it's definitely a good time at the movie, so I want to give it a look over and see what all the hoopla is about, I guess. What the budget is, the budget was $90 million. And, like, right now, total gross domestically is $316 million. So, it's really hitting. So,
it's, yeah, I know we don't like to always harp on this every week, but it's made more than Justice League by a significant amount.
Oh, wow. So, there's that.
I think I saw it somewhere. I know it's outgrossed Justice League. I'm not sure. Significant amount could be wrong, but I know it's outgrossed Justice League already. So, that's kind of frightening.
Sheesh. Yeah, man, that's crazy. Let's see, what else do we got up here? Coming in second place is 12 Strong, that Chris Hemsworth flick, coming out in second place with $16.5 million. And right behind that is number three, Den of Thieves, the Gerard Butler and 50 Cent movie, rounding it out with $15.3 million, man. So
I don't know anything about that, but I bet it's one of those just kind of dumb action flicks. You know, that's,
yeah.
As long as you're going with not very high expectations, you're not going to be overly disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. As far as I know, both of those movies outperformed what was forecast for them to do. So that's a pretty big deal. So that's good.
Hey, man, Curtis Jackson, he's that draw.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. So let's dig into some news items. I got a couple things here. You know, besides the football game on Sunday, the SAG Awards happened. So there's a lot. There was a lot going down, some winners. Mainly what I'm noticing in this list, the biggest name out of this list is looking like Three Billboards out of Ebbing, Missouri. Kind of sweeped a couple awards.
Okay.
I was interested in that movie. I definitely want to check that out. The trailer looked good. This Is Us. They got a couple of wins. Sterling, shout out to Sterling K. Brown. We'll also see him on Black Panther next month.
I'll tell you a funny story about that.
Go ahead. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm definitely going to want to hear that from you. But yeah, I mean, nothing like standing out. Crazy Gary Oldman won for Darkest Hour, which I wasn't really surprised about because from the trailers that I was seeing for that movie, I mean, his performance looks incredible. So I'm not really surprised that he won out for outstanding performance for a male actor in the leading role. So I was definitely, it was definitely nice to see Denzel Washington up there for Roman J. Israel, because I feel like Roman Israel came out so late in the year. I was wondering if whether or not it was going to get any noms, but normally that's what they try to do, is like near the end of the year, they'll just release a whole lot of, you know, the Oscar bait movies, right, so that they can get recognized and viewed and be fresh in people's minds. So, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, man. So, I might have to check out a couple of these. I know we were talking about one show that was up here. What were we talking about? I think it was Shameless. Yeah, Shameless.
Shameless, I've heard, is very, very good. I haven't sat down to watch yet. I know it's probably like 6 or 7 seasons in now, I think, something like that. But I've heard it's very, very good. Because I was talking to somebody about Happy. Have you seen Happy at all?
With Chris Maloney. Yeah, no, I need to check that out.
It's hilarious. It's brutal, but it's hilarious. Like, they actually created, Sci-Fi actually created a new rating for it. The rating for Happy is WTF. And it just, like, I mean, if you could do it on a TV show that's not like an HBO or Showtime pay channel, this show does it. Just violent, cursing all the time, drug use. One of the episodes is in a strip club. But it's just hilarious. Not to get too far off, but the premise of the show is Maloney's a cop who is an ex-cop at this point, who's now sells himself out as a hitman, who's just the most down and out dirtbag you could imagine. And he finds out, excuse me, he finds out that his daughter's been kidnapped, a daughter he didn't know existed until just now, but he finds it out through her imaginary friend, a little blue unicorn named Happy, who only the daughter and he can see. And it's voiced by Patton Oswalt. And it's just, it's hysterical. Because, it's an imaginary friend. It's all happy. It's bouncing all over the place. And he's just this total dirtball scumbag of a human being who's just constantly trying to get the thing to go away. It's really funny. You definitely got to check it out. It's a good show.
Nice. Yeah, I'm definitely.
But I was talking about that, and somebody related it kind of to Shameless, saying, you know, they're kind of along the same lines of debauchery, I guess, the word I'm looking for. So I've always heard it's good. I just haven't taken time to watch it. I should give it a shot.
Nice. Yeah. I'm definitely going to have to check that one out, man. That sounds good. And I'm a Chris Maloney fan. I've been a Chris Maloney fan since Law & Order. So with it.
You have to check it out. He's completely the opposite direction from his SVU character.
Yeah.
But he's so good at just playing a down and out dirtbag. He's just so good.
Oh, man. So let's take a look at what's up next. It looks like we got some Venom news coming out. Tom Hardy, who's going to be playing Eddie Brock, a.k.a. Venom, who's a big villain within the Spider-Man universe. We've been getting some news out of there. We've been getting our first looks and everything like that. And what I'm hearing out of Collider Movie Talk is that Tom Holland's Spider-Man is going to be making a cameo. Now, it says, I don't know if it's going to be Spider-Man or Peter Parker, but from some sources, I'm hearing that it's actually going to be Peter Parker.
That's what I was going to say. The rumor that I've heard is that it's just going to be Peter Parker, but it is going to be Tom Holland, which is interesting because it's now that tie between the two universes is showing up and opens the door for potentially bringing Tom Hardy to the MCU, I guess, if you want to try to link it that way, which you obviously could. So it's interesting because, I mean, that rumor's been going back and forth for a while, and I was listening to somebody talk about it, and they said they think their assumption is that, look, eventually you're going to start filming this stuff outdoors. You can't hide Holland if you're outdoors. People are going to see him. So you might as well just announce it now that he's going to be there in some way, shape, or form, right, and get it out of the way. You know, and none of this stuff stays secret for these movies anymore anyway. That's one of the unfortunate parts of things these days. Is, you know, spoilers abound everywhere you go. It's almost impossible to dodge this stuff. It would have been kind of nice to have that, you know, oh, he's not going to be in it. Then you go watch the movie, and all of a sudden, boom, right, there he is. Would have been pretty cool to see. So, you know, I'm curious what the tie-in means. I really am. And if he's just going to be Peter, that's fine. But he's still Spider-Man. And is he somehow going to tie into the suit now? Are they going to somehow maybe add a tag to Infinity War at the end? You know, one of the post-credit scenes where somehow Holland gets the suit because they'll be in space.
Yeah, right.
At some point, I imagine, fighting Thanos. So it's entirely possible that he winds up with the symbiote in some way, shape, or form.
I could see that happening.
To tie it to Venom. I mean, you'd skip a whole lot of story, unfortunately, because I don't think Holland's going to be a major player in Venom. He's only going to have like a cameo. Unless you want to completely skip over, you know, an entire, you know, storyline where he has the suit, he interacts with it, he, you know, is the hero with it. Then he finds out it's a symbiote, and then he finds out it's trying to take over his body, and then he gets rid of it. Then it goes to Venom. Or it goes to Brock, because Brock hates him, because Peter exposes a fake photo that Brock created that got all this hype and all this tension and made him all this money. And Peter exposes him as a fraud. And that's why the two of them bond, the suit, because it hates Parker. Or the suit, because it hates... Yeah, suit, because it hates Parker. And Brock, because he hates Parker. And that's how Brock finds out that he's Spider-Man. That's how the whole thing goes through. So you would have to skip over all of that storyline if you're going to give the suit to Holland and then have him lose it in the Venom movie in some kind of cameo. So I don't think they'll do that. But it'll be interesting to see how exactly his part's going to take place in the movie. I'm very curious as to how he's going to end up being part of that world. Now that they've for a long time said that it wasn't going to be part of the MCU, and now
they're saying it is. So it's like, it does make me wonder, you know, what the future is for these side stories. Are they still going to be solely Sony, or are they going to, is Marvel trying to work something out with them? Because, I mean, let's face it, they have leverage now. You know what I'm saying? You could say, hey, Sony, could we get Spider-Man's rights back, and we'll give you Aliens or something like that? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's right, well within right. the realm of reality and negotiation that we could see something like this going down. But, I mean, I'm definitely glad that Tom Holland will be making an appearance within the movie, because I wanted it to fit within the MCU in some kind of way, especially with this whole deal going through. And it just would have hurt the franchise, I feel like, if we saw another iteration of Spider-Man being there in some kind of way, shape, or form. Yeah. So this is good. This is good for me as far as a storytelling note that I can get behind. So yeah.
I almost wonder if part of it is because of what DC's starting to do with making these individual spin-off movies with individual, like, with the same character but different actors.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so you've got Ben Affleck, and now they're talking about Jake Gyllenhaal or John Hamm or somebody playing the Batman in the Batman movie. And all you really see is people going, that's just so stupid to do it that way. I wonder if Marvel kind of sees that and goes, you know what? Maybe we should avoid the idea of them possibly putting their own Peter Parker in the movie. Let's just go ahead and get Tom in that movie.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, because, I mean, you would hope that people kind of pay attention to at least fan response when they're doing these things. So, yeah.
Right.
Moving on to the next bit of movie news we got here, some Creed 2 news. Now, last time we talked about Creed 2, we were talking about the fact that the storyline was going to basically continue following Apollo Creed's son and Sylvester Stallone's Rocky character training him as a boxer, and he was possibly going to be facing off with Ivan Drago or Ivan Drago's son. So we found out the story said Ivan Drago's son, and now we've been kind of waiting for casting news as far as who's returning, who's going, and who's going to be in it. So we definitely know that Dolph Lundgren is coming back to reprise his role of Ivan Drago. And his son is going to be played by Romanian boxer Florian Muntianu. And he's going to be playing Ivan Drago's son in Creed 2. And I mean, this guy looks like a beast. Like,
I just looked up that link that you send out before we do this. That dude is no joke. He is
like Michael B. Jordan was big in Creed 1. I mean, but this dude is definitely a threat. Like, this, and this is good. This feels good to me, because you always want the stakes to be higher every time you see your hero go out there and do his thing. It's definitely nice to see that we're going to have somebody trained. It's a little scary when you're talking about, hey, this is this guy's like debut. This is basically his first time being in a movie. But when it comes to like sports films, like boxing films, you kind of want professionals to be a part of it. And a lot of these guys are charismatic enough to hold their own in these type of environments. So it'll work. I think it'll work. He's definitely a welcome addition to the cast. I'm looking forward to Creed 2. And it's also good news to note that Tessa Thompson will be reprising her role as Bianca in this sequel. Because we were a little worried about that, like whether or not she was coming back or not. Because we know she had Thor. She's going to be in the Marvel Universe. Is her schedule going to be busy? Right. But, I mean, to be honest, Michael B. Jordan's in the Marvel Universe too. So they're obviously finding a way to work around these schedules. So, yeah.
Very, very true.
So yeah, that's definitely good news to hear. So I'm looking forward to Creed 2.
Yeah, me too. I like the first one, so I'm looking forward to the second one. I'm you know, like we talked about a couple podcasts ago, more confident now that Stallone is not.
I think I also heard that Stallone's working on the screenplay, but he's working with the writer of Luke Cage. So that was actually a good piece of news for me to take a look at, because I mean I was worried at first. I was like, man, is he going to be directing and writing, or he's just writing? Okay, cool. Who else is he working with? Because normally they do these things and they're all collab stuff to maintain the original story, I guess, that Coogler had kind of set in stone. So yeah, it's good to hear that we're going to get that kind of, you know, that kind of storytelling. The same storytelling in Luke Cage, because Luke Cage was phenomenal, and I think that's kind of that's the perfect kind of tone that I want for Creed 2. So,
only thing Luke Cage did wrong was kill off the best villain.
Yeah, they did.
That's the only thing Luke Cage did wrong, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, man,
because he was fantastic.
He was great. I definitely want to see him again in the Marvel Universe. And I know that that's always the hardest thing to do, but I just feel like he would just be perfect as Blade. So.
Yeah, you know, I can't argue with you on that.
Next up, coming up in the DC TV camp, we got Castle's. If for any of you watching now, if you've ever watched the show Castle with Nate Fillion and what's the girl's name?
Stana Katic.
So yeah,
Stana
Katic. Their show, there were two detectives on there. One was played by Seamus Dever, and he's joining the cast of DC's Titans series.
It was Detective Ryan.
Yeah, Detective Ryan. Yeah, you know, he was the nice guy. He was the nice guy.
He was.
So it's good. It's good to hear that, you know, he's still out here doing it, and we're going to see him on DC's Titans. I have no idea what role he's going to be playing. So when we hear more news about that, we'll let you guys know. But I'm excited about this news because the cast has shaped it up to be pretty solid. So I'm looking forward to the show. I mean, I'm worried about whether or not I'm going to have to pay some kind of service fee just so that I can watch this show on DC streaming network. But I don't know. At this point, I'll figure it out.
Pay for it.
Oh, man. So,
you better get that, should get that cough looked at.
I know, right? What, Lawson?
Arr.
Ricola! Oh, man. Let's keep the DC momentum going, though. Got some news on Legends of Tomorrow. Hearing that Kid Flash is going to be added to the cast as a season regular.
Yes, I think this is an excellent idea.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It looks like there was an interview from Legends of Tomorrow's producer, Phil Klemmer. And he gave the news saying that Kenan Lonsdale, the guy who plays Kid Flash, is going to be a series regular. Flash was having a difficult time finding a reason to have two speedsters on the show, like threats that would accommodate having two speedsters on the show. And I kind of understand this because, you know, you have one speedster is like, that's pretty, I mean, you could put your threats there, you know what I'm saying? And we're obviously seeing that this season. Two speedsters though, it makes it a very difficult time to develop, you know, threats for these two to come up against and actually be thwarted against. So this was a good move on their part. And I feel like Legends of Tomorrow needed somebody who could play with the time, you know, space continuum the way that they do regularly. So this is cool. Yeah. Right.
Because at one point it's Barry, it's Wally, it's Jesse Quick, it's Savitar or Reverse Flash or Thawne,
yeah,
or Dr. Zoom. You know, four or five all at one time. And it just kind of got to the point where it's like, well, this is kind of silly. Like, you don't really need all these pieces running around, bad guys, good guys, whatever they may be.
Right.
You know, and then they push Jesse Quick off the show. They send her back to her planet, and she doesn't really come back. And then, you know, Kid Flash, Wally kind of, you know, he's still on the show, but he's off, you know, learning to be his own man in a different city. And then he comes back for the specials, and then he's gone again. You know, and it's a shame because the kid is good at being Wally West and being Kid Flash.
Yeah.
So it was a shame they didn't really have any place to put him. Well, now, because, what's his name? Martin Stein.
Yeah.
Character.
Victor
Garber. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Victor Garber decided he didn't want to be on the show anymore, which, you know, these people do after a while.
Yeah.
And he moved on, kind of left the Jax character high and dry, because can't have Firestorm without the other part. So they had them, you know, spoilers if you haven't watched the four part yet, but give me a break, it's a couple months old at this point.
Yeah.
He drinks whatever the formula is and cuts off, you know, basically his access to becoming Firestorm. So he's essentially, as far as I know, leaving the show.
He's leaving too, because like at this point there's nothing left for him to do. Yeah.
So now you've essentially had two major characters walk who became one major superhero.
Yeah.
You've got that hole that needs to be filled, and I think giving it to him as a full-time cast member just makes perfect sense. You give him a show to be part of. He fits in with the whole, with everything that's going to be happening as far as timeline goes, or, you know, time travel and whatnot. You know, he spent his time in the Speed Force, so he gets kind of the idea how some of that stuff works, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to be a good addition to the show. I think he's going to help him move forward nice. And the show's been really good.
Oh, yeah.
This year and the end of last year. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so we'll see where that goes, because I definitely want to see where the story goes now, because, I mean, they're facing off some pretty heavy-hitting supernatural threats. So it'll be interesting to see how that story goes and with the addition of Kid Flash, how it goes. Because I know originally I thought when Kid Flash left that they were setting him up to move to Titans. So this is actually this is good news to hear, because I'm not sure where the story is going to go with Titans, but it's cool to have Kid Flash on a regular basis, you know, every week, you know what I'm saying, instead of him being missed in the Flash series. So yeah,
it's definitely better than just, you know, pushing him to the side and not having him come back.
Yeah, no resolution there.
I mean, just leaving him sit there. Yeah, he can sit there in whatever city he decides they're going to put him in. You know, oh, he's being a hero in such and such city. You know, but he's Kid Flash, so he can show up anytime we want, because we just got to call him and he can be here in 2 seconds. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's nice to see him give him his own. And it's nice to see them give him his own chance to get away from the Flash and be his own speedster.
So. Exactly.
I think that'll be good. I think that'll be real good.
Yeah, definitely. There's a new animated film coming out, Suicide Squad Hell to Pay. And it looks exponentially better than the live-action counterpart. I can tell you that much.
There isn't much that does.
But it looks, the stats on this is really good. I mean, it's going to be a R-rated animated film. So, you know, you're going to get all types of violent, bloody violence and everything like that in this film. We're getting introduced to some new characters. Copperhead, Bronze Tiger, and Killer Frost. Killer Frost, you may be familiar with if you watch The Flash. Bronze Tiger, if you watch Arrow. I think he was on, like, season one. I think he was on season one, played by Michael Jai White. So, yeah, I mean, I'm Yeah, because when they did the first iteration of the Suicide Squad on Arrow, actually, Bronze Tiger was a part of the squad. So, yeah, I'm definitely interested to see Bronze Tiger in this format, because I mean, he's an interesting character. He can go toe to toe with Batman and go toe to toe with Arrow. So it'll be good to have him on the cast as well. So basically, you know, what the story's supposed to be is Task Force X, or the Suicide Squad, as they're more affectionately known, is they're getting sent to go find a mystical object that they're risking everything, basically, to steal it. Like, this is extinction level event. This is like apocalyptic here. So they need to get this for Amanda Waller, or all the world is going to end. So, you know, stakes are always high, as usual. You know. So, the cast, though, the voice cast is pretty strong for this one, and I'm really excited to see it. Christian Slater is doing the voice of Deadshot, and if you guys have been watching,
which is interesting.
Yeah, if you guys have been watching Mr. Robot, you know, Christian Slater has been really killing it on that. And I'm really glad, because I like him as an actor, and I feel like he always gets a short end of the stick with the shows that he gets attached to, because they don't make it as long. But, like, he really hit gold, I think, with Mr. Robot. So, yeah.
That's what I hear. I haven't watched it, but
it's very, very good. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to see. Did you happen to watch the trailer at all for this?
Talked about it, and I meant to go do it.
All right. Well, there's a trailer out there for you folks if you want to check it out. It's really good. Like, you can hear Christian Slater as Deadshot. It's spot on. It's perfect. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Billy Brown is going to be playing Bronze Tiger. And for all my How to Get Away with Murder fans out there, he plays Nate Leahy. So I'm sure a lot of people will know who that is. He was on Dexter. He played Detective Mike Anderson, and he was on Sons of Anarchy. He played August Marks. So this guy's been kind of blowing up lately, and I think it has a lot to do with How to Get Away with Murder. He's actually one of my contenders for Green Lantern John Stewart. Like, he's pretty talented, and he looks like he's capable of muscling the role the way he needs to. So he's definitely a welcomed addition to the cast. You got Liam McIntyre, who's going to be playing Captain Boomerang. Spartacus, the man, the myth, the legend, he plays Spartacus. He actually replaced the man who started the series and passed away, unfortunately. But he plays Spartacus. We saw him on The Flash. He's the Weather Wizard. He's also on, for all my gamers out there, he's on Gears of War. It's JD Phoenix.
That's what I was gonna say. That's all I need to know. He's Gears
yeah.
of War. Yeah.
Kristen Bauer Van Straten is gonna be playing Killer Frost, and she was on True Blood. I can't remember the name of her character, but she was like the second in command to Eric Northman, Alexander Skarsgård's character. So all my True Blood fans, you'll recognize her from that. Other than that, I mean, you got Vanessa Williams coming in as Amanda Waller, and Vanessa Williams is not someone that you even need to introduce. Like, she has a catalog of things, and she's been recognized on all the stuff that she's on. And all my animated fans, everybody knows who does Harley Quinn's voice now is Tara Strong. Tara's been killing it in the game for years, and she's been a welcome addition to the Bat family, I guess, as the voice of Harley Quinn in most of the iterations of any new Batman animated film that comes out. So, and she's been doing the voice on the games, the Gotham the Gotham Knight game. The Arkham games. Yeah. So, yeah.
Even a very, very brief appearance on Arrow at one point.
That's right. Yeah, she actually does do a cameo for the Suicide Squad as Harley. Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be pretty interesting to see how this unfolds as this movie comes out, because this cast is really strong, and I'm looking forward to it. And it looks like it's going to be focusing on the big bads as Vandal Savage and his daughter, Scandal Savage. So, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I know. That took me a little bit to get over. I had to keep reading it a couple times just to make sure I wasn't reading it wrong. But yes, it indeed says Scandal Savage.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a couple of big bads in here that are recognizable. You got Two-Face in here, Silver Banshee, Zoom is in here. C. Thomas Howell, he did the voice of Zoom for Flashpoint, the animated movie. So, yeah, man.
Like 80s.
Yeah. And him being Zoom in Flashpoint was so, like, he has like this cadence that's perfect for Zoom. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him reprise his role in this movie. Who else stood out to me? I'm looking forward to seeing Tobias Whale, because I've never seen him in any iteration outside of the Black Lightning comic book. So,
okay.
So if you guys, and we'll talk about this later, we'll talk about the premiere of Black Lightning as well as the premiere of all the other DC shows that came out. But Tobias Whale is like, he's a big Black Lightning villain. So I'm interested to see how they'll use him in the film. But yeah, man, cast is strong. Story is pretty good. I mean, anything's better than the live action one we got. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't even, I'm not even going to bother to get back in all that. But yeah, there isn't much that won't be better than that abomination.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was rough. Oh, let's get into some game news. You know, every once in a while, we'll pull up some game items for you guys because we want to still keep it very geeky here at the boss's desk. So we get into geekdom of every kind. So comic books, superhero movies, TV, and occasionally some video game stuff. So first up on the list, there's a new Fable game possibly on the way. Now, all of this is not being confirmed by any of the production companies, which kind of sucks, but you know, people have inside routes to these developers, and this one's going to be developed by Playground Games, and they developed the Forza Horizon series. So they'll be working on this new Fable game. Now let's give you a little history. Lionhead Studios, which was the previous developer, they closed in April of 2016, and
yep.
They were working on a project at the time called Fable Legends. It was supposed to be like a multiplayer kind of like action RPG game. They originally started off with their series being something where your choices affect, you know, your character and the world around you and how they view you as you progress through the game. It was pretty revolutionary. But the rough part of the game development process was the fact that they promised a lot of customization on this game and pretty much bailed on it at the last minute. So it kind of spiraled downhill from there. Fable's a very solid series, but it as far as fan reception, there was a lot of disappointment. Fans still stuck with the game, but there was always a hunger for more. So we were hoping with Fable Legends we were going to get that, but then the studio closed. Everything failed and they scrapped Fable Legends. So now we're hearing that Playground Games is going to be taking it. And Fable is going to be an open world action RPG. Here's something to note. They were inspired by the endeavor of Horizon Zero Dawn. So if that gives you any inclination of what they're trying to accomplish here, that would be an example. and I've heard nothing but good.
Yeah, I loved
it. Yeah. I remember when you got that, and like every, you know, when you were telling me about it, like I was interested in playing that game. So I can get like a Fable game that's on that same level, I'm good.
Yeah, that would be good. Horizon was really, really good. The DLC, I have to go back and finish the DLC at some point.
Yeah.
But if they're going to put something on that same level with Horizon and the adventure and the, for lack of a better choice, the majesty that Horizon brought with it, that'll be a damn good game when they
get that one. Yeah, man. Yeah. And
that'll definitely be one to play.
Yeah. Definitely one to play. And they're saying it's going to be a complete reboot, too, because with the closure of Lionhead Studios, all the assets were taken off of the table. So they can't even use any of the original Fable storyline or characters, which is unfortunate, but I'm sure they'll make it happen.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it also doesn't hurt to make something fresh. You know what I mean? Like Uncharted is still probably my all-time favorite game series when it's all said and done. But you know what? They got to Uncharted 4 and they decided, we're going to keep going with the franchise, but we're not going to keep going with Nathan Drake. We're going to move on to a different set of characters. And the new one was just as good. You know, the characters maybe not as good because there is something a little special about Nolan North and the Nathan Drake character and following him through his adventures and whatnot. But the gameplay itself and the game itself was awesome. Nice. You know, it was an excellent continuation of that series. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing to kind of start over.
Yeah, that is very true. So, you know, hopefully we get the ball rolling and get a little bit more news on this. Maybe we can get some screenshots soon because I would love to showcase those. So we'll see.
Yeah
man. As far as other game news, we got some big updates coming up and events on the way. Assassin's Creed Origins, I don't know if anybody's been playing that, but they've got the big Hidden Ones DLC that's coming, I believe. Today is the 22nd, so it should be coming out the 23rd. It should be out Tuesday. So tomorrow, we get the Hidden Ones. I'm sure it's gonna further adventure through the history of the assassins and how they got together and, you know, what they do together as a group. Because, I mean, Assassin's Creed Origin was, as far as the story is concerned, was phenomenal. And the big reveals and plot twists, I mean, it really reinvigorated this franchise, something that this franchise needed for a long time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. And looks like The Division has a big global event that'll be happening starting tomorrow. I've been playing The Division since it came out, man, and I fell off a little bit, but then I got back on, and the stuff that they've added to this game has made it probably one of my favorite games of 2017. So these global events basically add more difficulty to the already established gameplay and give you an opportunity to get like special armor pieces that, you know, when you get them all together, you get special perks and bonuses that you wouldn't be able to get with regular armor pieces. So I'm looking forward to this one. I'm definitely going to put in some time on this one, some hours. So, yeah, man, I'm with it.
See, I haven't played that in ages. I'm going to have to fire it up.
Yeah, man, you missed a lot. So, but yeah, I got to get you back on that.
Let's give a quick shout out to the biggest game news that there is. That the boys are back.
Hey!
On the game again. Little Call of Duty World War II. It took us a little while. But the Ghetto Boys are back again. Doing it up. So, you know, if you see the Jedi and the Samurai out there, you know, you best be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, man. Getting back on Call of Duty World War II, there's definitely a learning curve. We started off those first couple rounds struggling.
Oh, it was
once
brutal.
We got back on, it was on and popping.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The boss got his mojo back and he was
savage,
taking no prisoners at any
savagery
corner.
Savagery ensued. Oh man, it's definitely a good time. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna try and get back on a couple times this week. I don't know, guys. I'm thinking maybe we'll do like a cast or something. Maybe a couple Twitch casts and put those up on YouTube, and you guys can follow us as we go through the mayhem and try to go through Team Deathmatch. Yeah, you can laugh at us all you want. It's definitely a fun time. Get team killed by our teammates.
Introduce our friends to the man that's
called out. You may not be ready, but we'll do it anyway.
Yeah, that will definitely be an NSFW type of show. So,
oh, yes, 110%.
So, yeah, man. But I'm looking forward to playing some more Call of Duty World War II, man. I'm trying to get through the single player mode, and I'm doing it on veteran because that's how I do my first person shooters.
You're insane.
You're
insane. You have to do it on recruit. It took me half an hour to get past.
Normandy Beach, man. Just trying to get through. So when you shoot off the bomb to just get through the first like layer of defense in the beach, and that's if you get there. Like you have to get there first, and then there's all the bombs are shooting going off. So as soon as you get there, like I repeated that level like maybe 5 to 15 times before I actually got it right. But once you get in the swing of it, you're good.
Oh. Yeah. But it's like, get down for cover. There is no cover.
Where? There's nowhere to go. There's no cover. We're out in the open.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So much fun. So much fun, dude.
Oh, my God. It was fun. Yeah. It's definitely fun. It's
so check it out if you got Xbox One or PS4. It's worth it. Let's move on to some fan casting, man. I've been looking forward to this one.
All right, I'm with it.
So last week we did Fantastic Four. That's what we did last week. Fantastic Four and had a good time with it. And we were looking at the properties that Marvel recently acquired through the Fox acquisition. So today we're going to do X-Men. It's only right. They got the rights back to the mutants. So we're going to do some fan casting for the X-Men, but what we're going to do is we're not going to fan cast the original movie. We're going to fan cast the original members of X-Men with a few additions. So there's like I think we had like two additions and
to the original cast?
Yeah. Cuz the original cast, the original not the original
much
cast,
everybody.
But the original team in the comics was Professor X, Cyclops, Marvel Girl / Jean Grey, Beast, Iceman, and we added Wolverine and Storm.
The only one we're missing, if we were doing the original cast, is I think Thunderbird. But
oh, what about Angel too? Yeah, we were supposed to do Angel too.
I don't know. Was Angel one of the originals?
Yeah, he was in like the first comic. The first comic, Angel was in there. Maybe we'll save.
We kept it kind of simple to some of the main characters.
Yeah,
you did Iceman. You have Iceman listed in yours. I have Storm listed in mine. I tried Iceman. I drew a complete blank, so I instead. But we can still roll with what we got.
Okay. All right. Cool. So all right, we'll start off with Professor X first, and I'm gonna let Professor start us off because I gotta say I really like his choice. So yeah.
So I picked two. I picked two. My first one is strong. I personally believe my second one is stronger.
Okay.
And most of these, you know, just kind of we go with mostly what would be a wish list. We try to go as close as we can to what would actually be potentially possible, mm-hmm. but for the most part, they're wish lists. And I say that because my first pick for Charles Xavier would be Mark Strong, who I love. But I know he signed on for DC, so
dang it,
I don't think he'd be able to do it. Oh, did you pick Mark Strong too? Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, man.
I just wasn't going to let you take my second pick because my second pick was definitely one that came up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
My second pick, who I think would be a fantastic Professor Xavier, is Lance Reddick. If you don't know the name Lance Reddick, you know him from The Wire. He was the main captain, whose character name I don't remember. If you played Destiny at all, he does the voice of Zavala, the main Titan headmaster. He's been in all kinds of stuff, and he is a fantastic actor. He's a black gentleman, so he would be a bit of a stretch for some people to be okay with, but he would be a phenomenal Professor Xavier character. He would
just be man. Amazing. I mean, when you see this guy on screen, it's kind of hard to deny the traits that he has that would be great for Professor X. So, yeah, I'm definitely wholeheartedly in agreement with the professor on this one, that Lance Reddick is definitely one of the greatest picks I've ever heard for Professor X. Mark Strong was my pick. I know he's with the DC camp, but I feel like he would definitely be able to pull off Professor X in a way. If you're looking at, you know, a role like Merlin in Kingsman, it's very Professor yep. X to me. So yeah, Mark Strong is my pick.
I just think Reddick has that voice too. Yeah. He's got one of the greatest voices in Hollywood, and I think he would be so perfect for that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. So let's do Magneto. I'll do my pick.
All right.
Now, okay. I'm going to preface this by saying this is definitely I really wish that this could happen, but this is a pipe dream. I know that this would never happen. He probably would never even consider this role. He would laugh at you, throw a ball up the script, then throw it at your face. But my choice for Magneto is going to be none other than Daniel Day-Lewis. And I think that this man would bring a certain level of gravitas to the character of Eric Lesher. And I think Magneto would be very refreshing on screen with Daniel Day-Lewis playing him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So I had two options for this again that I thought were kind of interesting. I went with two for everybody that I picked just so I had, you know, some options.
Yeah.
My first one was one that you and I discussed before that initially I kind of said it as a joke, and the more I started to think about it, I think he would be really good at it. That's Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
I just think he's, you know, a lot of people kind of laugh at Liam Neeson because of some of the movies that he makes, but he's a strong actor.
He really
when
is.
He really is.
And
I think as Magneto, I think he would be amazing. The other choice, however, again, second choice, probably the stronger choice, to play the role of Magneto would be He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Oh, Mr. Ray Fiennes. Yeah. Ray Fiennes could pretty much play any villain that we'd want him to play.
He could literally play any. Yeah. But he would be phenomenal as Magneto as well. Yeah. So I think either one of those two playing off Lance Reddick would steal any possible movie you could make. Would be amazing.
I'm actually going to lean more towards Ralph Fiennes as being a better foil for Lance Reddick.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Let's do Cyclops. So who do you have for Cyclops?
All right. So I got two picks for Cyclops. These two are kind of on an even level for me. The first guy I haven't seen in a whole lot, but the couple things I've seen him in, I think he'd be pretty good. He was originally supposed to be Batman years and years ago, is Armie Hammer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's been in a couple things. I think he would be really good. The other choice I have, who I think I probably like better, but maybe it's because I've seen him in more things, is Matt Bomer.
Oh, yeah.
From best known from Blue Collar, or White Collar, excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
yeah. The old USA show White Collar, where he played Neil Caffrey, the Jewel Thief. I think he's a fantastic actor. I think he's got more of a range than people realize, and I think he would be really good as the lead role. Basically, the lead of the X-Men as Cyclops, Scott Summers. I think he'd be really good.
Yeah. All right. Well, my pick for Cyclops, I only pick one because I had a couple choices, but I narrowed it down to like my favorite. This is who I think would play Cyclops and play him well. I'm going with Sam Claflin. And if you know him, he was on The Hunger Games. The character that he was playing, let me see if I can remember the name of the character. He was playing Finnick O'Dare. Yeah. He was real protective of the older lady that he was with. I think it was like his love interest or something. She was special or something to him. I can't remember the details of the movie, but I know like he kind of looks like, who was the guy who played the original Cyclops? Marsden. James Marsden.
Yeah. James Marsden.
You are yeah, yep. James Marsden. He kind of looks like James Marsden. And the guy can act. Like, the guy can really, he really has some chops. Like, there's a couple movies here. I saw him in Me Before You, which was a pretty intense love story. The Hunger Games. I saw him in The Hunger Games. He was in Pirates of the Caribbean. Let's see, what else? Doesn't really have much outside of that that would be considered blockbuster, but he's a UK actor, and I really want them to explore the character of Cyclops and not make him to be like just some jealous boyfriend that I feel like they did the first time around. Cyclops has a very strong story arc in and of himself, and I really want to watch this character grow and become the leader of the X-Men, and I think that right. Sam Claflin could really pull that off. So,
I'm all right with that.
Yeah, I definitely think he has the chops to get it done. So, let's move on to the next one. Marvel Girl. Okay. So Marvel Girl, a.k.a. Jean Grey, a.k.a. the Phoenix. So many a.k.a.s, we don't really have them all listed here.
Dark Phoenix.
So we'll be getting a movie of that soon. But if they were to do this in the Marvel Universe and do it the way that I would like them to, my casting choice for Jean Grey would be Evan Rachel Wood. And if you guys, if you guys have been watching Westworld, you'll know, like, yo, she would be perfect for Jean Grey. So, yeah, that's my number one pick for Jean Grey.
Okay. Maybe better than the ones that I have picked. So I have, for Jean Grey, I have three, but one is really just one that I have to pick every time this type of role comes up. So I'll save that one for last.
Okay.
My first choice was kind of an interesting choice. I saw somebody mention it, and I sat and thought about it for a little bit, and I thought, might not be too bad. Daisy Ridley.
Oh, okay.
Might be an interesting pick as Jean Grey.
Okay.
You'd have to dye her hair red, and I'd be okay with that. But she might be able to. She might not be too bad at that. I don't know if she could do an American accent, but might be pretty decent. The second one I had was Rose Leslie. She was Ygritte on Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
The red-haired wildling who falls for Jon Snow. I think she kind of has the right kind of look, maybe, that might be really good at it. Obviously, you clean her up a little bit from her wildling days, but I think she might be pretty good as Jean. And of course, my third option, you have to know who I'm.
Oh, I know who your third option is. I know.
You know exactly where my third option is going.
Yes. Oh.
It had to have just clicked.
Oh, what?
She would look too young, but I'll watch her in anything because I just love her.
I'm like surprised I didn't think it.
Molly Quinn.
Yeah, Molly Quinn. Yeah, I'm surprised.
I kind of am too.
Oh, man.
But you know what? She could, they can, you know, it's Hollywood. The makeup can do wonders to make her older. She would probably be very good.
Yeah.
She'd sell a ticket for me.
I mean, I don't know. I think she would kind of be perfect as is. Like, you don't really have to do anything to her, like, at all. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of these actors that we're picking, they kind of, at least for, you know, when we're talking about the actual team, the actual students, they kind of, like, they fluctuate in the ages that they can play, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think it really depends on what kind of age you're looking at as far as the characters go. I mean, if you go with an Armie Hammer or Matt Bomer, you know, my other picks is Scott. I don't know that you can go with Molly because she's a little bit younger looking. You know, she's just one of my favorite actresses, and I loved her in Castle when she was playing the daughter. It was kind of where I really enjoyed watching her. You know, I thought she was funny. I thought she was very good at it, you know, the role she was in. So I think she might just look a little too young to be considered a love interest for one of those two. But again, I've seen pictures of her where she looks a little bit older and might just work perfectly. Yeah. So you never know. Not that I think they would offer it to her. I still think she would be. She's MJ stepping off a page of a comic book for Spider-Man.
Right.
But you know, I don't think they're going to do that one either. Yeah. So, but those one of those would be my choice for Jean Grey for sure.
All right. Let's do Storm. Let's do Storm. Because I got a pick for Storm that I just thought of.
Okay, so I had two again. My first pick was the girl who just played her in Age of Apocalypse, which I didn't like, but
right.
I really liked her, Alexandra Shipp. I think she would be very good to continue on, take that role, and keep it going. But if you wanted to go with someone new, I went back to Game of Thrones again, and I went with, I believe you pronounce it, Nathalie.
Oh, yeah,
Emanuel.
Yeah, yeah.
She is the interpreter for the Daenerys Targaryen character. I think she kind of has the right look, and she's a very good actress as far as being able to pull off kind of that, you know, when you first see Storm, she's a lost kid in the middle of
Nairobi?
It's not Africa, I don't think. I think it's like India or something where they find her on the streets, or maybe it is part of Africa they find her on the streets. And she's kind of a scared little kid fending for herself, and then eventually grows up to become, you know, the leader of the X-Men. I think Nathalie would be able to pull that off pretty well.
Some good picks. All right, so I got two. One is like at the top of my list. The other one is kind of like honorable mention. So my number one pick for Storm is going to be Nicole Beharie. And she was recently on Sleepy Hollow. She had been on Sleepy Hollow for seasons before she left the show, which I personally feel like ultimately led to its demise. But
was she the detective?
Yeah, she was the main detective.
Okay, I never knew what her name
was. Yeah, she was Abby Mills. Yeah.
Abby Mills, thank you. I liked her on the show. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, yeah. She was great on the show. And I've seen her in a couple movies. I saw her on 42. She was on a couple of other things too. But yeah, like she's definitely one of the actresses I've been waiting to see, because I haven't really heard. She's done like some indie films. She had a film with who's the guy who played Magneto recently?
Michael Fassbender,
which was critically acclaimed. She's just a talented actress, and I think so here's the thing. 42. She played in 42. Opposite Chadwick Boseman. She's already played opposite this guy, and their chemistry is really good. So if we're talking about Storm, who's eventually going to be the significant other of T'Challa, Nicole Beharie does it for me. My second choice is more like a runner-up. I think her name is Naomi Harris. Yes, Naomi Harris. And she's Money Penny on the new James Bond movies.
Okay.
Yeah. She was also Tia Dalma on the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
That's a priority for the
But yeah, I just remember her like chasing after some dude in I can't remember what 007 movie that was. She had the pistol and she was running down, got down, popped one guy, and then was trying to hit the other guy, but couldn't. But like the skill, tactical focus that she had, and just her gravitas as an actress, I think she would be perfect for Storm as well. But Nicole Beharie is like my number one. So yeah. Let's see what we got here. Beast. I only have one pick for Beast, and he is currently employed by the Marvel Universe right now. His name is Kevin Wiseman. And if you guys have been watching The Runaways, he's Gert and Molly's dad.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he would make a perfect Hank McCoy. Like he definitely looks like he has the build to you know, carry out Beast, but he has the personality, the mannerisms, the intellect at least showcased on that show,
right,
of Hank McCoy. So he would definitely be my first pick for Hank McCoy.
Okay. So for me, I had, again, I had two. One was the guy who's just played Nicholas Holt. I always thought he was actually pretty good. The younger kid was pretty good at playing Beast. So I wouldn't be upset if they kept him.
Yeah.
The other one I thought might be kind of interesting, especially coming off of Bright, was Joel Edgerton.
Oh, I like that. I like
might
that.
Might be
one.
An interesting option because he's kind of, you know, now you've seen him kind of in the orc costume, and he kind of has the same kind of mannerisms that Beast would have. You just kind of give him some brighter dialogue to go with, some smarter dialogue, I guess you'd say, not brighter per se, but and I think he would actually be really good.
Yeah, I actually like that pick a lot. That's actually a really good pick. And because I know that my pick is already in the Marvel Universe, Joel Edgerton is definitely a good one.
He would be a nice addition to that, I think.
Yeah. His role in the I think was it The Gift? That scary, like that, it was like that scary thriller movie.
I don't know.
And he was playing like it starred Jason Bateman, but he was like this kind of like unwanted friend type dude.
Like, it was like he was a kid from high school or somebody, and the two of them had grown up, and he knew some secret about Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that. I think that's what it was. Yeah. Like he kind of has this shy kind of. Yeah. He definitely has like this shy kind of reserve about him that I think would be perfect for that. And then there's a couple movies that Joel Edgerton has done that make me think that he would have been a perfect, he'd be a perfect Beast. Yeah. So I'm definitely with that one. Oh man. All right. So let's see. Let's do Wolverine. And then we'll round it out with Iceman.
Oh, I mean, come on. If we're going to do it, we got to round it out with Wolverine.
Oh, we're going to. Yeah, you're right.
You
got to
end
right,
with Wolverine.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. We'll end with Wolverine. All right. So do you have a pick for Iceman or is it just me?
I do not. I'm going to let you go ahead and take that one. I could not think of anybody. The one name I saw a lot of people suggest, which probably wouldn't be a bad idea, but I think we kind of have him, you know, in a whole bunch of other places, was Kingsman.
I think it's Edgerton. Yeah, it's Edgerton.
Yes, Taron Egerton. Yes, correct.
Well, I can see that.
That was the name online. I can see that, but I didn't really think about it too much otherwise.
Yeah. So I have two picks that weren't Taron. So I'll show you. I'll tell you what my picks were. For my picks for Iceman, because I know Iceman's going to be on the younger side, but he's still going to be like kind of old enough to kind of throw in with the team. My first pick is Logan Lerman. And he was on the Fury, that tank movie. Where he's like a young recruit in I think it's like World War I or World War II, and most of the film takes place within the tank. He was also Percy Jackson, and Percy Jackson in the Olympians, the movies that came out, those two movies that came out. Okay. He's actually gotten a lot of steam in the indie area, but Logan Lerman definitely has the chops. I felt bad because Percy Jackson had the potential to be a really good franchise, something that could really go. I'm not even going to say that. it was definitely a legit franchise that could have held its own within the landscape that it was in at the time. Because I think there were a couple other things. The biggest thing was Harry Potter at the time. I think it could have held its own. He just got the short end of the stick. It wasn't good storytelling. He did a phenomenal job acting. Fury was incredible. It really tested his acting chops. He got to play with guys like Brad Pitt and who's the Punisher?
John Bernthal.
John Bernthal, like and what's the guy? The Transformers dude. Just Do It. The videos, the viral videos.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, he was in that movie with those guys, and I mean, look, Shia LaBeouf for all his, you know, public stunts or whatever, is a very talented actor. And like all these guys were on set killing it. They were killing it. And Logan Lerman was nothing to glance over either. So I definitely would give him Iceman because I would love to explore Iceman's story. But he's one of those mutants too. That's an Omega level mutant, Omega class mutant. So finding out his story and testing the abilities, the limits of his abilities would definitely be something I'd want to see and see played by Logan Lerman. Or the second guy that I picked, Josh Hutcherson. And he's on that, it's this new Hulu series where he's like the top winner, top scorer in this video game, but it was really a test from the future, and two people from the future come back and ask him to help them in the future or something like that.
So it's The Last Starfighter?
Yeah, I think so.
that's basically the story of The Last Starfighter. Yeah,
like basically that's what it is. What is this joint called? Let me see. And he was in Hunger Games, Future Man. That's what it's called. The Hulu show, or
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I think it's a Hulu show. It's Future Man, and then he's been in all the Hunger Games movies, Bridge to Terabithia. I mean, this is when he was a kid. Zathura, Journey to the Center of the Earth, Red Dawn. Like he's done a lot. And now it's the reboot with Chris Hemsworth. But I mean, the kid's got chops and he's competent enough, I feel like, to carry out the role of Iceman. But I feel like if you really want to stretch the limits of Iceman's character, I would go with Logan Lerman. So yo, okay. Those are my picks for Iceman. So what you got on your list for Wolverine?
Alright, so for the man they call Logan. Man. Again, like we said before, these are those, some of them are dream casts that we would hope we'd be able to do. If you go back and you're recasting a character, I would absolutely 100% put Tom Hardy in as Wolverine. I would get him away from the Venom movie and I would put him in as Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if there's anybody who would do it much better than him. But alas, we're not going to get that because he's going to be Eddie Brock. He'll be good at that as well. I just think he'd be better Wolverine.
Yeah.
The other one I thought up, I saw a couple people say, and I bounced around some ideas, and I thought, you know what? I love the guy as an actor just enough, and he's got the gruff side to him. He's a little bit older, but he's got the gruff side to him that might be perfect, and that's Carl Urban.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Since we're not getting another Judge Dredd movie, which we should, because he was perfect as Judge Dredd, I would love to see him as Wolverine. I think he'd be awesome.
Well, what about Thor? Is he not? Is he still in Thor?
Spoiler alert! Didn't he die at the end of the movie?
Nah, I think if I don't see a body, somebody's still there.
Oh, bloody hell! I thought he died at the end of the movie. No, maybe not then.
Huh?
I don't know. Those are my two biggies. That was all I had. I forgot all about that. I thought he died at the end of Thor.
Dang. I mean, well, if he did, I mean, yeah, I would definitely love to see him as Wolverine. He's definitely one of my faves for Wolverine. For me, I'm going to go out on a limb here. And, he does have an association with Wolverine in some way, shape or form. But the first time we saw him, he played Remy. He played Gambit. I want to see Taylor Kitsch play Wolverine. And I think that he could do it. I think after watching John Carter, I think that he has the physique. I think he has the chops. I think he has the energy that I would want to see in Wolverine. So that's the only one I could think of top of the dome.
Interesting.
Other than Carl Urban. So
That's a it's a tough character to cast, man, because you got to have the right. It's got to be a guy who, look, he doesn't necessarily have to be short. Although I prefer to see the short Wolverine, like he's kind of supposed to be.
Yeah,
you know, Jackman was what 6'3" or something ridiculous like that. So doesn't have to be the tiny little guy anymore. He can be the bigger character, but it's got to be someone who's got some edge to him. It's got to be someone who's got a little grit to him. There's got to be a little something. Excuse me, Steve. Excuse me. There's got to be a little something to the voice that's gruff. You know what I mean? It's just, it's got to be that kind of character in general. You know, like we were talking off air. I was looking around, and the one website I came across suggested Kevin Hart, and I don't know that I could have laughed any harder. Look, I love Kevin Hart. I think he's hilarious, but there's no way possible should Kevin Hart play Wolverine. It would make a laughing stock of the character. And it's not because he's black, clearly. It's because he just doesn't have the look or the sound. He's tiny and he's got a high pitched voice and he squeaks. It just wouldn't fit.
It would be hilarious, though. It would definitely be hilarious.
Oh, it'd be hysterical. If you're doing a parody and you want to do the parody very right. funny, then yes,
you
put Kevin Hart in as Wolverine. I got no problem with that. But if you're trying to do the X-Men seriously, no, you don't put Kevin Hart in as Wolverine. It just doesn't happen.
Nah. So there you have it. There's our fan cast for X-Men. So if we have any casting news coming up and we hit, you guys owe us lunch.
That's right.
So, yeah. Let's see. TV reviews, man. So, everything came back last week. Super excited. I was so glad to get all my shows back. Started off the week with Supergirl, which came back super strong. Like, ah, man.
Did it?
I'm really satisfied with where that show has come since season one, episode one. Right. It's so solid now. The threats are believable, and just watching Kara kind of develop as this character is just the best thing for me on TV on Monday nights, man. So, yeah, Supergirl was good. Flash. So, what did you think of Flash, man?
I liked it. I know it's more of a setup type of episode,
right?
So it didn't. There wasn't a whole lot of meat to it, mm-hmm. but I was a big fan of the part. I don't know if we
want to get too much into the spoilers. All right, look. Spoiler alert! All right, we talking about TV stuff, and it came on last week. If you didn't see it, go ahead, skip. Just get out of here, beat it.
You might need a spoiler alert sound effect to play every time we get.
I know.
Incoming spoiler alert. The scene in the courtroom where she comes in and is about to reveal that Barry is the Flash, and he all of a sudden runs over and she's like, "What's going on? Oh, we're moving faster than everybody else in the room. They can't even see us." Was just wicked cool.
That was cool.
And it's a really good emotional scene between the two of them, you know, with him basically saying, "You can't tell them it'll put too much in danger. You just can't. You have to let me do this." It was amazing. I thought it was a fantastic little bit. I think this season's gonna move a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Even though it is the Flash, I think it's gonna move a little bit slower because they kind of have to resolve, you know, where things were, you know, from the end of the break. But I thought it was pretty good for being the episode that it was. Good.
Look, Flash was okay for me. I mean, I'm not going to say that I really had a good time with it. And here's my reasons why. With Barry, it's primarily going to come out of the fact that, okay, they're really showcasing his flaw, his weakness, in my opinion. And it's his willingness to do... To do so much to look good no matter what the case is. You know what I'm saying? And I get it. He doesn't want to reveal his secret identity because it's going to put too much in jeopardy. But, like, at the same time, you wanting to serve your time is going to put you in a place where you can't protect the city the way that you want. Like, you were willing to leave the case, you were willing to leave the courtroom so that you could save the world. But, like, say if something like this ever happens again, bro, you're going to be behind bars. Like, these are things that I feel like, yo, man, come on, just think about it. He's good to a fault, like, and it bothers me. But it's like, at the same time, Barry has to have a weakness, so I understand it. My other problem with the show was this. So he's got this lawyer who's slated and quoted by so many people around him to be the best lawyer in Central City, and I feel like she did not push at all on the things that she could have.
Dude, squat.
I'm like, yo, like, what are you here for? You know what I'm saying? She had a clear opportunity to really push on the main villain's, like, wife. Really push and, like, screw in a nail and kind of, all she needed to do was cast reasonable doubt. That's all we need is reasonable doubt. And it was just like, oh, so you're just gonna let that pass just fly by you. Just, all right, nothing. And she looking at Barry all frantic, like, what? Like, come on, man. I didn't go to law school. Like, I need you to bring it. Where's your A game at? Like, jeez.
I mean, look.
I think those two parts are just like, those are really only hangups that I have with the show. I mean, I love the villain this season. I think, and the reason I love the villain is because it's complicated. Like, you can't, like, completely hate him. I don't hate him and his wife. Like, their bond is so real that I kind of just feel like, dang, like, I can't even hate on y'all. Like, y'all really riding together. Like, I can't hate on this. You know what I'm saying? But, right. If anything, the court scene definitely just kind of threw me for a loop. So that was my only problem with this episode.
I mean, the one thing that always throws me every time they play the he's got to protect his secret identity angle is the fact that, like, 30 people on the show.
Yo, I'm saying.
And that's not even an understatement. Like, it's not an exaggeration either. Like 30-some people know that Barry Allen is the Flash. And it feels like three more people every year learn that Barry Allen is the Flash. So you're kind of at a point where it's like, you know, your secret identity bit's getting a little worn out because everybody else knows already. Plus, you know, in the crossover, in the wedding, all kinds of people there. He used his speed in front of them. They didn't know he was the Flash. They were sitting right there.
Saying.
And nobody questioned it for a second.
Plot holes.
So, plot, and if it's me, it's like, all right, Wally, I need you to come home, put on the Flash suit, show up in court, say I was with you, it wasn't me, that you know I'm a good man, vouch for me as the Flash, and then they'll let me go.
Yup.
Which is probably what would happen. Done and done.
That's all you got to do.
But what do I know? I'm not writing this down. Of course,
probably
wouldn't make for a very good episode either.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I mean, you know, I know Barry got to take this one. He has to suffer. And eventually be redeemed and come back as the hero. And plus this gives, I know that what they're doing is they're giving the Elongated Man his time to shine. You know what I'm saying? They're giving him his moment in the sun so that he can step up and be the hero that Central City needs. We saw that in the trailer. So right. I'm all right. I was like, okay, you guys can have that one. But, I mean, you did not have to make that whole court session as weak as it was. That was just,
yeah. I won't disagree.
So, did you get a chance to check out Black Lightning?
I did. I enjoyed it. I will say I enjoyed it. I'll be straight up honest and tell you, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be allowed to watch it. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, I like the show, but there was a lot of white people are bad going on in the show for the first episode. I was like, okay, it is what it is. I'll keep watching to see if
you can watch. You can watch. I give it a clearance.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it. I thought it was really well done. I like him. I know. I keep forgetting what it is I've seen him in before. The main character. There's something I know I've seen him in that he was really.
Well, I know he was in Living Single for years. But I know it was something else more recent.
Yeah.
Let me see. I can't remember his real name too. I think it's Cress Williams. He was on Prison Break.
Wasn't Prison Break? I know that.
Was it? You said it was recent.
I thought it was recent. Let me see if I can pull up. Yeah, I'll find it. You said Cress, right?
Yeah, Cress Williams. Yeah, I can't really think. I mean, he was on Nash Bridges, but that was like a while ago.
Might have been ER. Nash Bridges I used to watch too.
Oh, you know where I recognize him from? And he wasn't on as much as I thought. He was on House. He was the hospital attorney.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
And I've watched that series probably 7 times.
That is like your favorite show.
I'm probably just thinking it was one of my favorite shows. And I probably saw him in it so many times. I'm like, oh, he's in this episode again. All right. Not thinking to myself, hey, stupid. It's the same episode. But yeah, I liked him as a character. I really did. I wasn't a big fan of the daughters, but I don't think you're supposed to be right away. I think they're supposed to be kind of those annoying teenage kids, so I was okay with that.
I think what I really liked about the series was the dialogue, really. Like the conversations between the sisters felt so natural. You know what I'm saying? And it was kind of unreal, like how comfortable like you get while you're listening to them talk. So it's like, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of that as the series goes on. I love Cress Williams. I like him playing Black Lightning. I think he's doing it perfectly. I like the topics that they're talking about, man. I was like, yo, I was tripping. Like, he was out there shocking cops and blowing up police cars. I was like, woo. I said, all we need is Luke Cage. I'm good.
I will admit, I think the suit lighting up the way it does looks a little weird.
Yeah, they now.
But this, other than that, I'm kind of okay. Like, it looks like it's like a light bright the way that the top of the suit lights up.
It's like supposed to be like, I know it's like generating some kind of like body armor, but what I've heard is that this is not going to be the only like iteration of the suit. We're going to watch this thing update literally throughout the entire season. So. Yeah, they said it was like, I don't know, it was like crazy. You know how Barry like gets a new Flash suit every season? I think we're going to see we're going to see Black Lightning get new suit, new costumes, new upgrades, maybe like every other show possibly. That'll be interesting. But yeah, I really like the premiere. Story is good. It was crazy. Like, so a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people don't know this character. So the guy who's playing Tobias Whale is he's this albino guy. His name is Crondon. Well, at least that's his stage name when he's not on screen. He is currently, or I think he might be currently, he's currently signed to Talib Kweli's label, and he's with Strong Arm Steady. And like, this guy is one of, he's definitely a decent rapper. I love listening to him. I love listening to Strong Arm Steady. So when I heard that he got cast as Tobias Well, I was like, all right. It's like, we'll see how it goes. But like, he actually kind of killed it. Like, he gives you the menacing kind of, you know, that you need from this character, the level of mystery that you need. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how this whole story unfolds, because you know there's history between him and Black Lightning. You just don't know the details. So.
Right.
But yeah, man.
I'm definitely looking forward to it.
It was good. Now.
It was. I very much enjoyed it. I make the jokes about not being allowed to watch it, but I did very much enjoy it. Yeah, so. Man.
Now, I unfortunately did not get a chance to watch Arrow this week. So. I know. I know. I'm hurting. So I'm probably going to watch it after we're done and give it a look over. But I know it was good.
All right. It was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I've always liked Arrow. I think it's getting better, you know, now that they're kind of trimming the team down a little bit and kind of going back to him, you know, being Arrow again. I think it's getting a little bit better again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, man. Have you been keeping up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season?
I have indeed.
Oh, man.
And that show is ridiculous how good that's been.
Solid. Solid program.
So good. So solid.
I'm saying, like, it. I don't want to say too much about the show because I know, like, we'll give the spoiler alerts, but I feel like if I talk about anything in that show, it could give anything away. But, it's really taken a lot of strong moves as far as the storytelling is going and this whole aspect of them being complete. Like, they're not even, like, okay, so we have the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and normally we get an opportunity to see, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. interact with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, last time we got Civil War, we saw that how the Sokovia Accords affected the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., especially with Daisy being an Inhuman. And even there was a little bit of spillover from Doctor Strange when we got introduced to Ghost Rider. But this round, they're completely off the map. So we don't even know if this is going to interact at all with the world that's already been established. But I'm loving it, man.
I think they've said that it's not going to interact with the movies at all, but I don't know for sure if that's true. Usually they do have some kind of throw to it in the series before the movie comes out. I would say it's probably not going to happen for Black Panther, considering where they're at in the show right now and the fact that Black Panther's in what?
Yeah.
But I'd be curious to see if they do something at the end of towards the end of the season that's going to mix into it.
Yeah, because that would be dope.
Because it seems like that would make sense to do that. So I'm kind of hoping that pops up somewhere.
Yeah, man. But
I just think they need to do more throws to the movies and the shows back.
I would definitely appreciate that. I mean, as much as wishful thinking it is to hope to see these guys in Infinity War, I know it's not necessary. So, you know,
right?
Yeah,
right,
man. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it. I mean, we normally make some time for some movie reviews, but you know, me and the prof didn't really get out and see anything. So so what's coming out this week? Let's take a look. Let's see what's coming out this week. All right.
I can leave you with my little story when we're done.
Oh, yes. Oh, so this week is actually a movie week for me. I'll definitely say that. Cuz Maze Runner: The Death Cure is supposed to be coming out this weekend. So okay. I've definitely been a fan of that franchise. I didn't read the books at all. I watched the movies, but they've been really good. And that guy that's on there, what is that kid's name? Dylan O'Brien. Yo, I really like this guy. He's a joy to watch on these movies. But I know that he came out with this movie a little while ago called American Assassin, and I really wanted to check that one out. And basically, it's a story about a guy whose girl gets killed in a terrorist attack, and so basically he starts training himself so that he can exact his revenge on this terrorist group. Michael Keaton's in it. And he basically picks him up, and then they train him as an official, like, CIA or whatever alphabet boy agency that he would join up with. And then they send him over there to do his thing. So I would definitely want to see that one. But I like this kid. I like where he's going. I hope that he has much success in the future, and I'll definitely be checking out Maze Runner, man. So,
all right.
Yeah, man. Yep. So that's it, folks. I mean, that's all we got for you today here at the boss's desk. You know, if you're, you're tuning in. Oh, wait, hold on. Pump the brakes.
Let me give my little story that the boss is going to appreciate. So you know I'm up for all things Kevin Smith when it comes out. So I listen to his Fat Man on Batman podcast that he does with a gentleman named Mark Bernardin. Mark Bernardin is a writer for, I want to say, the LA Times for their movie section and things like that. He's bounced around a little bit here and there. He's, you know, got some TV shows and stuff he's working on, he's writing for. Mark is a black gentleman. He's very, you know, very into all the, you know, he loved Luke Cage and all that stuff that's coming down. And he's telling Kevin the story on their recent podcast. And first he turns to Kevin and he says, "Do you know what the Nod is?" Kevin goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And he says, "Well, the Nod is a thing with two black men. When you're walking down the street or in the mall or someplace, you don't even know each other. You've never seen each other before. But you look each other in the eye and you give that little nod like something happens. You and me, we're together on this one." That kind of thing. You know, and he's explaining this to Kevin. Kevin's going, "Oh, okay. Okay." And he said, "Well, I experienced something new that I think is apparently taking place at the Nod, and I've never had no idea, but I was very excited that it happened." Kevin goes, "Okay, what happened?" He said, "Well, I was in the mall today, and I was walking through the mall with my wife, and I passed this younger black kid, and he looked at me, and I could tell he's never seen me before, and I've never seen him before. He looked at me, I gave him the nod, and he looked at me, and he went, 'Black Panther's out in 30 days, bruh,' and just kept walking."
Yes.
He said, "So apparently the Nod is just Black Panther's out in 30 days, bruh. That's all that is now."
And that's exactly how it should be.
So it's taken over for the Nod. And it's exactly what I thought. As I was dying, I was like, "That is hilarious."
Oh, man, I love it.
So I knew I had to share that story with you. I knew you'd appreciate that story.
That was awesome. I love that one. I'm just going to say that to everybody now.
Because I can see it. I could see you doing that.
Panther's out in 30 days.
As you're walking past some random stranger.
Where you going to be at?
Yep. Exactly. How many times are you going to see it opening day?
Want some company? And hey, you got to say it like that. Company.
I'm pretty sure he followed up. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he followed up with something like, you know, because every black man in the U.S. is going to be off for the first, you know, or the last 3 weeks of February anyway. So. Because we're just going to go see the movie every day.
That's how it's going down.
Something to that effect. It was very funny. It was like, "Man, I'm listening to the boss." It was very funny.
I'm buying tickets. I don't know. Even if I don't physically go to the theater, I'll have a ticket. So if you are like trying to go see Black Panther and you don't have any tickets, just hit the boss up. Hit the boss up. I got you.
just understand, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to refer to him as the king all night long, because he's going to make you do that.
Your Highness King T'Challa, ruler of all things.
terrible. Man.
So, that was a great story. That was very rewarding. That was a great payoff.
I thought you would like that one.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. So, that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, do not forget to follow us on all of various social media outlets, man. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Just search the Boss's Desk, Twitter at the Boss's Desk, and you'll find us, pull us right up. We're also on Google Play and iTunes, on the Apple Store now, so you can follow us and subscribe to our podcast so you get these updates whenever we release them. If you have any questions about anything you're in the show, any news items you want to talk about, want us to talk about, then send your questions to us via Twitter. Just tweet at the Boss's Desk or send your emails to questions@thebossesdesk.com. And we might share your question here on the Boss's Desk, man. So, I hope you guys have a good week. Watch everything that's coming out, because we will be talking about them every week. So just know this is like a spoiler alert. For all the spoiler alerts. So we'll be talking about these shows moving forward. We'll be talking about movies and really airing them out. So, you know, if you haven't watched the shows of the previous week, you'll know we'll be talking about them. So, yeah, that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk, and we'll catch you guys next week. Later.